make just a few announcements. We'll have a visitation schedule going through the June the 8th through the 14th is Brother Aaron's week this coming up. And so be praying for them and their group. If you're part of Aaron's group, get with Brother Aaron. You all get out a game plan of some things that you can do. I got a 5K's next week, so you all got an easy one, really. All right. So we'll put you in April, getting that stuff ready for us. But remember that. The encouragers right after the be my week or after that. Me and Brother Tim had a good week. We went visiting, and I know some other people, Pat, told me they'd done some visiting too with my group. And we kind of found us a little honey hole to see like there's houses everywhere, and it just keeps going and going. We'll eventually get it finished up. But God is good. I believe it's important we go out and invite people and give an opportunity, share the gospel. But I don't want anybody ever dying to go to hell and say nobody that lived in this area said Mount Hebron Baptist Church wasn't interested in me. Yeah. That'd be horrible. Wouldn't have to stand before God and give an account for that. I believe that's the reason we're here, to spread the gospel. That's what we need to do. Vacation Bible School is approaching. In fact, I was just talking about some needs of Vacation Bible School. Everything going on the other night to Brother Joe and Sister Angie, and she volunteered Joe to come paint for me. I just appreciate her so much. And Brother Joe, and he got over there and he painted our Vacation Bible School scenes up with keels. I think we'll need another round of keels, isn't it? It didn't like mess with you, did it?
Not too much.
How many is in here that ever painted with keels? You ever painted keels? If you use the old base stuff, whew, things are going to move around on you, is all I got to say. And I mean, it will move. But anyway, I appreciate that. But that's a start, right? That's a start. And so we're going to try to hit some more of this stuff this week and be preparing scenes and so forth. But if you're interested in helping, please let us know. There's a sign-up sheet, and we encourage you to do that. Our middle school 5K race is next week. Many of you are going to participate in that, and I appreciate that. If you're not a big runner, you just like to walk, we encourage you to come do that. Or if you want to come, show up and just stand on the side of the road and make fun of me as I come through there. Because I run, but I'm not a runner, okay? I just survive. That's my goal, just to make it, just to finish. That's my goal. And some people show up to win. I show up to be able to finish breathing, okay? That's what I want to do. I want to keep, or not finish breathing, but keep breathing, okay? So, girls are not having a Bible study this week. It's in there. So, Winnie made this before she left to go on vacation. And we'll forgive her. I was picking on her in Sunday school class this morning because I was missing part of my papers to pass out. It probably wasn't her fault. It probably I didn't give her everything. But, you know, as a typical male, I'm not going to take responsibility for anything. Amen. Had to be somebody else's fault. That's the way I look at it. Have your Bibles turned to the book of Jonah this morning. The book of Jonah. We're certainly glad to see everyone here. Got a good looking group here this morning. And you're a lot better looking than that group we had last week. They were ugly. Okay, that ugly group. Sometimes I look at Nick back in. He comes in, his hair is bigger, sometimes a different color. And today I was like, who is that guy with Brad? That's Nick. Okay. My mom used to change her hairstyles just every 3 months. And I think Nick's right on pace with her. Every time I see her, he's got a different hairstyle. Am I right, Brad? He didn't even nod that much. He just knows it's true. All right. It's good. Anyway. Jonah chapter number 1. Jonah chapter number 1. I preached through the book of Jonah a while ago. I'm taking a little bit different angle, different approach. Three thoughts really hit me, so I'll probably preach a couple of those thoughts today. Maybe come back for the other one a little later. Jonah chapter number 1. The Bible says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship,
and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Everyone to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. And they cast lots. And guess what? The lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Notice that. They knew he fled. Why in the world have you done this then? This brought this calamity upon us. If you're trying to run from God, that's the reason that we're facing this storm. They said unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Word of God, and if there's one thing that is evidently clear in this passage, we can run, but we can't hide. God, when you have a plan, when you have a purpose for our life, it's not about our choosing, and you're not going to consult us. It's about what you want. And God, we need to realize you're still God. You're still the one that has all power. And Lord, to battle against you as your children is going to be a losing cause. Lord, we thank you, God, that you move us. You do what is necessary to put us on a correct course in this life. And I pray, God, for my life, my children, and for this church, that you would keep us in a correct course. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. May we maintain the integrity of the Scriptures, the integrity of what our forefathers stood for, that we might bring you honor and glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The division of Jonah is pretty simple as you study it. I preached through it, and I think I titled each sermon this way. Number chapter 1, he's running from God. Chapter 2, he's running to God. Chapter 3, he's running with God, doing exactly what God told him to do. But chapter 4, he's mad, and he's running at God. And it's just amazing, interesting story. Doesn't end in a good note, ends in a sour note. And we see that in the life of Jonah. The Bible is true, you know, and God doesn't try to make a picture look colorful when it's not. God doesn't try to make something smell better when it stinks. God just lays it out there the way it is, and so it is with the life of Jonah. And one thing you can say about Jonah, he's honest and determined, but here's one thing, Jonah tried to run from God. You remember when Osama bin Laden, after September 11th, what did President Bush tell him? You can run, but you can't do what you can't hide. Eventually, we're going to get you. And they got him. Amen? I'm glad. I mean, you say, Brother Grant, would you be opposed? Listen, I would have been there to get a standing ovation when that Navy SEAL went there and shot him. Amen? Wouldn't you? I mean, in fact, I heard it going down the road about how to wreck. I mean, I rejoice. I'm glad they found that scoundrel. Amen? I don't think I was jealous. I wasn't the one to pull the trigger. Well, listen, I want you to understand that we look here in the Word of God and we see some things about Jonah. He was one who was on the run, but eventually he's going to be found. And I got news for you. For God's children, you can run, but you can't hide.
That is a fact of life. God has a plan. God has a purpose, a particular purpose for every one of us. And I got news for you. He don't need you to consult with the Trinity to figure out what that idea is or what that plan is. God don't need my opinion about His plan for Grant Hardwick's life. God don't need your opinion or your ideas about what His plan is for your life. God's the one that created you. God's the one that designed you. God knew from eternity past what He wanted you to become and what He wanted you to be. Don't think for a minute that you need to give God any advice on His sovereign plan for your life. You may not like God's plan, but let me remind you this, that God is righteous and God is holy. And so whatever God chooses for you, whatever God plans for your life as His children, is going to be right because that is His very character. He is right. God is holy, so what He has chosen has to be right in everything eternally in His eternal plan. You may not like it, but His plans and His choosing for Grant Hardwick's life is always perfect and right with or without my approval, and so it is with you. Amen. And so it was with Jonah. Many persons try to get away from God's plan. I've seen it. I ran into a guy one time that used to preach and loved the Lord, and he just said he wasn't going to preach no more. And then his wife left him. His children wouldn't speak to him. He lost his business, lost his family. And what a sad state of affairs just because you're going to run from God. Man, I'm going to tell you, you pay when you run from God. And let me just move on to this. You see, here's another thing I want you to understand. You can run from God. Many people try to run away from God's plan for life. You can run, but you can't hide. But think about this. You can run, but you're not going to succeed. And thirdly, I'm going to say this. You can run, but you won't be able to afford to. It's pretty simple when we think of it, and that matters. What is it that you're neglecting in your life this morning? What is it that you're running from today? God has something specific He's laid on your heart, wants you to do. God specifically has told you to do something. You know what you need to do to be exactly where God wants you to be in your life. But if you're holding back for any particular simple reason, and maybe you can come up with an excuse, and I don't say maybe a good excuse, may I say to you, while you're sleeping, and it's like Jonah did, in the belly of the ship, while you're down there sleeping, the world around you is going to hell. I've got news for you. It's time for us to wake up, old sleepers. It's time for us to get up and quit running and saying, God, here am I, whatever you want me to do, this is what I'm going to do. When you run from God first, I want to say this to you, you're on the path of disobedience. You'll find that in the first three verses, God clearly, concisely spoke to Jonah and said, I want you to go. He said, not only Jonah, Jonah could say, maybe it's some other Jonah. He said, no, the son of Amittai. He said, that's me. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. That great city. He specifically told him where, and maybe he thought maybe there's some other city, say Nineveh, but he said, no, that great city, Nineveh, I want you to go there, and I want you to cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This was an exceeding wicked people. He said, I want you to go preach to them. He even told him what he wanted to preach. He said, I want you to go and cry against it. The judgment is going to come if they don't repent. Man. He called him out specifically, told him exactly where to go and what to preach. It's pretty clear, amen? Didn't even give him a long sermon. His sermon wasn't as long as what I've already preached to you this morning. Some of you are thinking, I wish you would imitate Jonah. Amen? I'm not going to. And he was on the path of disobedience. You see, he was told to go warn this people that judgment was coming to this town. You see, God wanted to extend His grace to a lost and needy people, and Jonah wanted no part of that. Think about that. He didn't want to have any part with that. He wanted to save these heathens of Nineveh, but Jonah, he hated them. In fact, the Bible says when God brought revival to the city of Nineveh in Jonah chapter 4 verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. When judgment didn't befall upon the people, he was angry. Why did Jonah have such hatred? I tell you what, he had a lot of good excuses. Now think about this. You can run, but you can't hide. And when you run, you're on a path of disobedience. And you may be like Jonah. You may have a lot of excuses. Jonah had some pretty good excuses, in my estimation. You say, what do you mean by that? He had a deep hatred for these people. You see, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were very fierce. They were known as a very cruel people. They were known for just being a warlike people. They were idol worshipers. And here was Jonah. He looked at these people. He had a disdain for them because he was filled with national pride as a Jewish people, as a Jewish nation. And his patriotism caused him to be a little bit of a racist. Let me say that beyond a little bit, he was a racist. He didn't have any mercy for these people. Now you see, the Ninevites were known for their cruelty. He had a good excuse. When they defeated people, you think some things they did. Sometimes here's what they do. When they capture people, they slay all the men, and they take all the women, they put hooks through their lips, and then they'd run a rope through that hook, and they'd find another woman, and they'd put a hook through her lip, and they'd tie them all together, and then they'd find all the little children, and then they would take those children off, they'd make slaves, and they would do just atrocious things to the women, but they'd put fish hooks through the lips of the little children, and strings to them, and they would lead them back to their empire, lead them by a rope, and tied one behind another. I mean, they was cruel, but that was some of the easiest things. That was some of the simpler things they did, some of the less cruel things they did. They often forced their parents to watch their children be burned alive before they killed them. They were known as this. They put fear in the hearts of the people. They were known to skin their victims alive. And then, after they skinned them, they would take sharpened stakes and impale them on the stakes to allow them to finish off dying. Pretty cruel people, right? God says, go preach to them and tell them they're wicked. I probably said, whoa, 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 whoa. You sending bodyguards? Navy SEALs going in with me? Are they going to blow out a spot, land me in, I get proclaimed, and then get me out of there? But I got used to that. That wasn't his motivation. It wasn't that he feared them so much, he hated them. He ran from God so much. We see it in the Scriptures. I mean, he was willing to say, just throw me in the ocean and let me die. He thought he'd get away from God. When you run from God, you're on a path of disobedience. You'll find that these people, let me just tell you, they were horrible. They were known to bury their victims up to the necks and then leave them there to die of hunger. Allow wild animals to get to them. And it was said that sometimes when they'd see the Assyrians approaching the cities of those nations, that the people would commit mass suicide rather than fall into the hands of the Assyrians because they were so cruel. And so it was known that Assyria was a rival nation to Israel. They were a rival nation, and they'd done made their threats in Jonah's day that they would conquer the nation of Israel. And so it was common knowledge that that was their desire, just as it's common knowledge that the Iranian Empire wants to wipe off the nation of Israel from the face of the global map. They wanted to destroy them, so it was known in that day. Guess what? There was no love lost between these individuals and people. And Jonah hears the call to go to Nineveh, and guess what he does? He makes an executive order or decision, and he says, you know what? I'm not going to Nineveh. God can't make me. He jumps on a boat. He's going to head to Tarshish. Gets where he's at. Tarshish is 2,000 miles away. If you go directly from where he's at to Nineveh, in part of modern-day Iraq, guess what? It's probably about 500 miles away. The trip probably been 600 miles away he had to travel. But he says, I'm not going to go. I'm going to go as far away as I possibly can get away from this place. There's no way I'm going to do what God's told me to do. You know what he thought? He thought he could escape. Listen to me. He thought he could escape God's plan, God's purpose for his life by running away. And he didn't want to do what the Lord told him. So you know what I want to say to you? Jonah had a small view of God. You mean when your children disobey, they have a small view of who you are. Amen. Occasionally you need to remind them how big you are. Amen? Right? Occasionally you have to do that. Occasionally you have to remind them how big you are. You say, what if they get bigger than you? Get meaner than they are. Amen? I mean, show some grit. You see, to them, they think God, Jonah in his mind, somehow he thinks God maybe is just a local God. If I get away from here, God will quit speaking to me. He thinks that he can run far enough away that God will not be able to find him. But his theology is faulty, amen? You'll find in Psalms 139. Turn to Psalms 139. Look over in the Word of God and see what it says. Psalms 139. I'll eventually get there. Psalms 139, verse 7. Psalmist writes, whither shall I go from my spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Man, I got news for this. No place you can go get away from God. No place you can go. You cannot escape the presence of God. You see, while he had a small view of who God was, you only care what Jonah's problem was, he had too big a view of who Jonah was. He thought Jonah was too important. He thought Jonah was somehow smarter than God. He thought that Jonah was wittier than God. He thought he was more powerful than God, that he could endure when even the storms come, the waves are beating. And they said, listen, who's caused this? He says, I am. I'm a preacher. God called me to go to Nineveh. I refuse to go. I'm not going. Here's this. What can we do? He didn't say, I'll repent. He wasn't scared to death. He said, throw me in the sea. They tried everything else. Jonah said, dummies, I'm right here. Just throw me in the sea. There's no way I'm going in. He was willing to die. He thought he could outdo God. God has a way of getting their attention. You know what? This thing's worse than death. Huh? I remember Brother J.S. knew one time, you got to think about it, he didn't want to have open heart surgery. It was the second time. The old preacher, an old warrior. And his son was a funeral director there in Somerset. And while I was standing, I'm in the hospital, we're standing and he's talking. And he said, I just ain't going to go through this second heart. So that last one, he said, about got me. He said, if I die, I die, I'm ready to go. And he said, and that's fine for me, I just go on. He said, I just don't want to do it. He said, second time around, I was aggravating him already. I said, Brother Jess, you mean make sure this time you at least get a 20-year warranty, amen, on that thing? But he said, I just can't do it. And Richard looked at him. He said, I'm going to tell you something, Dad. He said, it could be worse. You could have a massive stroke instead of a heart. Maybe you don't die. Maybe you lay in bed. And can't talk, can't do anything. He said, since you put it that way, I probably better have that surgery. Amen? This thing's worse than dying. Can you agree with me? This thing's worse than dying. And God knew how to get Jonah's attention. He knew what he needed to do. You see, when God come his way, Jonah thinks he can serve God only when it's convenient to him. He says, I'll serve God as long as I like it. As long as I go where I want to go and I preach what I want to preach. And I'm accepted the way I want to preach it. Now, God, if you want me to go to Nineveh and preach and tell them they're going to hell and there's no mercy, I'll do it. That ain't what God called him to do. God didn't call him to go to Nineveh and call fire down on the people. You'll find that when he preached, there was 120,000 children that couldn't discern the right hand between the left hand that God spared in that city. Here was a man that was so full of national pride and racism, he couldn't even preach the gospel to see little children get saved because he despised them so much. And by the way, he had good reason because they were notoriously wicked. You know, sometimes we think, even if we look at the Islamic nations, we think, man, I've been guilty of thinking, just drop bombs on them, nuke them till they glow. I've said things like that. But you know what? There's a lot of children, there's a lot of people that's never heard the gospel. There's a lot of people that's not had the opportunities that we had. Man, we need to be cautious of what we think and what we say. And so he thinks, because he doesn't like what God wants him to do, listen to me, he's abandoned to walk away from God's call upon his life. Now, I want to say to you, before we're too hard on Jonah, I want you to think about this. Sometimes we only serve God when it's convenient. God, I'll serve you. I'll do what you want me to do. As long as it don't cost me nothing. As long as I get to go where I want to go. As long as I get to be what I want to be. As long as I'm comfortable, God, I'm willing to serve you. But you get me out of my comfort zone, I'm not interested in that. We may not go from Tarshish. We may not head to Tarshish, but many of us have headed away from the Lord. You ever been guilty of that? I have. I said, God, I'll not do it and run from it. There ain't something to brag about, dear friends. I want to tell you, God will get your attention. When you run from God, listen to me, you're on the path of disobedience. We think we know more than what God knows. Somehow we think we're the masters of our destination. We think we're in control. We think we'll call the shots just as we please. But may I remind you this morning that it's the God of heaven by His infinite mercy that saved us by His grace. Amen. By His grace, He saved us. We were headed for a devil's hell, and He intervened on our behalf and lifted us up out of the miry pit and set our feet on a solid rock. Amen. I mean, He brought us out of destruction. He brought us out of sin and shame. And I got news for you. I no longer belong to myself now. Listen to me. I'm a child of a King. I'm His son. Amen. This body doesn't belong to Grant Hardwick. It belongs to Him. It's the temple of the living God. Amen. And whatever God wants me to do, that's what I'm to do. Paul said he was a bondservant to God. You know, he said, I'm a slave. Everything I am, I belong to Him. I belong to Him. I'm not free to my own thinking. He said, I belong to Him. Listen to me. Then I tell you what we ought to do. You know what God ought to hear from us? The same thing He heard from Isaiah. When there's a need, we say, I hear my God. Send me. That's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 and 8. And that's what we need to say as well. You see, if God's been speaking to your heart this morning, you can give every excuse in the world. You might have a good excuse. You might think that you're valid what you have to say. You may think you've got a good argument against God. And you can give a lot of good reasons. But I've got news for you. I promise you, if you run from God, you're not going to have good results in your life. Nothing with Jonah worked out for Jonah. And that brings me to the second thing. Not only is it a path of disobedience, it's a path of disappointment. And it was a path full of disappointments. Jonah hit the road. He thinks everything's going well at first. Let me tell you why. Because, well, I understand, there probably wasn't too many ships that left the seaport here headed for Tarshish. Probably just two or three times a year that a boat left for Tarshish. He thinks he's won the lottery. He said, man, how good am I right here? What stroke of luck I've had right here. He said, I'm able to find a ship getting as far away from Nineveh as I can possibly go. And I got news for you. It didn't go so well for him. As soon as he got on the ship, things started having problems. By the way, I got news for you. This extra. If he had done what God told him to do, guess who was going to pay for the fare there? God. The Bible says that Jonah had to pay for the fare. And I got news for you. When you run from God, guess who's going to pay the price? Do you hear what I'm saying? When you run from God, you will pay the price. Now I want you to listen to me at this preacher this morning. I'm not just talking about you personally. But you know who else can pay? Your children can pay the price. Your grandchildren can pay the price. Your whole family from this point on can pay the price for your disobedience. Man, I'm going to tell you, you're headed for a place of disappointment. You think you've got it all figured out. You think you're smarter than God. You think you'll get away. You'll not do it! I mean, it just won't happen. And so the disappointments begin right away. I mean, Jonah has it all planned out. But you notice Jonah heads in a downward spiral. The Bible says in verse 2 that he said, I'll rise and go to Nineveh, that great city. I want you to go there and preach against it. And Jonah said, no way, I'm headed to Tarshish. And so he went down to Joppa. Notice the Bible says he went down to Joppa. He paid the fare thereof. He went down into the ship. Notice he went down to Joppa, down into the ship, and to get away from the presence of the Lord. And so he's down in the ship. And later on, what you're going to find in verse, just run up, the shipmaster has to look for him. He's down in the very hull of the ship. He's down there sleeping at that point. And finally, he has to get him up. And he says, listen, what are you doing down here asleep? And eventually, you know what they do? They cast him down into the waters. And you come to chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says he went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He not only went into the water and the whale swallowed him. The whale took him in the deepest regions of the ocean and the vastness of the ocean expanse. He took him down. Every direction that Jonah went, listen to me, when he walked away in disappointment or disobedience, he went down. All right, and that God's trying to tell us something. What you'll find in your life, things ain't going up when you walk away from God. You're headed for disappointments. When you run from the known will of God, listen to me, you're headed for disappointments. Listen, Jonah had to pay his own expenses. We'll pay a high price to run away from God. Do you notice that the captain and the crew found out who he was, and they were amazed at Jonah's own condition of his own heart. They was like, what are you doing? How in the world can you do this? If you've served the true and living God, how in the world can you be running from Him? You'll see that. And notice this, that Jonah ended up in a place he never imagined. Listen to me, he thought they'll just throw me in the ocean. He said, if I don't make it, Tarshish, just kill me. I'll commit suicide. I'm happy to die. But God had other plans. God said, I ain't going to let you die. The Bible tells us in verse 15, so they took him cast in the sea. Men that feared, and by the way, these guys were heathens. Guess what happened to them in this experience? They got saved. They got saved. I don't believe Jonah cared for them either, do you? He wasn't witnessing to them. Nowhere in the Bible is it recorded he witnessed to them, told them about who God was until he got in trouble. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah's in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And we can get into some good discussion whether Jonah died or he lived. I personally think he died there. I think he's type of Christ. I think God brought him back. But anyway, that's Grant Hardwick, and I'm not arguing with you on that stuff. And you have the right to your opinion, and I have the right to be right. Amen? Okay. And you say, what are you saying? No, I'm just joking about that. I'm not really arguing. People have different ideas. That's fine. It's a bigger miracle if God kept him alive those 3 days. But I tell you one thing I know for sure, that God surely, steadily got Jonah's attention during that period of time. Nothing worked out like Jonah had planned. And this is what happens when we get on the run from God.
You hear what I'm saying? Nothing went the way Jonah planned. That's exactly what happens when we run from God. I see people all the time, they think, y'all figured out, I'll not do what God wants me to do. I'll not be what God wants me to be. God speaks to them about maybe some ministry. God speaks to them about maybe changing some facet or area of their life. Maybe God speaks to them about quitting some things or doing something. And they say, I'll just not do it. They think they get away from it. Suddenly what they're going to find, they're going in the wrong direction totally. But not only going in the wrong direction totally, all they find is disappointment. If you're one of God's children, you cannot sin successfully. And so we find here the same scenario works itself over and over. You know what happens? People run from God, do their own plan. Instead of God's plan, they experience trials, tribulations, disappointments, hardships that could have simply been avoided if they just said yes. So the Bible reminds us of Proverbs 13:15, the way of the transgressor is hard. I've learned it in my life. It's hard. Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, guess what? That shall he also reap. You sow carnality, you'll reap carnality. If you sow, listen to this preacher this morning, I'm telling you this from my heart, if you sow the wrong things, you're going to reap the wrong things. You don't put corn in the ground and get watermelons. Not one time in my life I've ever seen somebody plant a watermelon seed and you get an apple tree. Amen? It don't happen. It's the law of nature. It's the law of God. It's not karma. That's what God said. Amen? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, oh, what are you saying? The Bible said in Galatians 6 and 7 and 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. Let me just tell you something. When you run from God, you're on the path of disobedience. Man, you know what? I didn't think I'd preach this long this morning. I said, I ain't going to preach long one night. Brother Rodney said, I heard him get started. I was like, it's going to be long. Amen? He said, you got turned on. Okay. Listen, I want you to understand this morning, that's God. You said, why are you preaching this, preacher? I tell you why I'm preaching this. Because some people think that somehow they can run from God and they can outwit God and everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be fine. I just want you to understand, you are disobedient and you are going to be disappointed. Life's not going to go the way you planned. Things are not going to work out the way you think. There's only one thing that can fix it, that is remedial, and that is for you to get your heart right with God and do the right thing. God called you to follow a certain pathway, do it. Let me just tell you this. Thirdly, it was a path of disaster. You see where you ended up. All one thing after another went wrong till he got to the place he couldn't help himself no more. He thought he could do battle with God, but what he learned real quick was that his arms were too short to box with God. He was going to get out jabbed. He's going to get out maneuvered. God knew what he was doing. And by the way, my arms and your arms are too short to box with God as well. Regardless of what you want to do, what God wants you to do, you ought to do it. You can rebel against it. You can think, well, I do my own way. Tell you what's going to end up. You're going to end in a life of disappointment and disaster. You say, but preacher, my life's not too bad. You don't understand what God could have done and what God wants to do. I think a lot of people can get to heaven and realize their life was an utter disaster because God's going to show them, here's what you could have had. And what you had was you weren't disappointed in. Let me tell you, it's a disaster in comparison to what you could have if you'd simply walked in obedience. Free clear. In the Word of God. You see, God's trying to get you to do something. He wants you a deeper walk. He wants you to work for Him. Maybe He's telling you it's time to join the church. You say, well, Brother Grant, I don't know. I might have to be rebaptized. You might have to be rebaptized. But if God's leading you here, listen to the church policy, what I say do, what God's told you to do. Not complicated. We make it so difficult when it's not. Many persons try to get away from God's plan. From life, you can run, but you can't hide. Listen to me. You can run, but you're not going to succeed. And you can run, but it's going to cost you far more than what you ever expected. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? You might have some good reasons. You can list them out. I can look up and say, I have pretty good reasons, but is this what God would say is okay to do in spite of all those reasons? No. Every excuse in the world will not atone for violating God's principles. Just won't. You'll not get the results you're looking for, I promise you that. Nothing will work out the way you planned, and your life will be a revolving door of disappointment if you run from God. This morning I'm challenging you. If you're here and you're running from God, make it right. Father. I've spoken, Holy Spirit of God. I pray you're speaking along beside me. And I pray you're speaking to hearts and you're drawing close to you. If any of your children are running this morning in disobedience, maybe they're facing the disappointments now, and God, they're tasting the whirlwind of disaster in their life. I pray, God, that they'll see that the quickest way to restore is to get back. I'm thankful that you're God. And I'll preach this tonight, but I'm thankful you're God that is willing and to accept all your children's apology to come back. You're willing to welcome them back and restore them where they need to be if they'll simply step out in obedience. God, you're just waiting to hear the change in his heart and in his life. God, I pray this morning, for those that may be here that's lost, they've been disobedient to the Spirit of God's voice telling them to get saved. I pray they'll get saved this morning. Maybe there's somebody been disobedient about something they need to do. Maybe they apologize about something. Maybe they need to make things right with the church. Maybe there's some that's here that's been disobedient in maybe some small areas of life. They need to take care of it personally. None of us have to know about it. Maybe there's some here that's been disobedient in your plain will for life. Maybe you called them into the ministry. They've ignored it. They've run from it. I pray today they'll refuse to be disobedient again, but simply repent and say, God, here am I. And I pray, God, that maybe that you'd move in the heart's life, draw closer to you. May you receive honor and glory for this service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet.